This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
All right, with Pete here, we're going to start Wolves this segment, then have some fun next segment. If I just said to you at this point, Jim, from game to game, we have no idea how the Wolves are going to play. Can you disagree with me in any way? And I'll just back that up by when they were in Denver a couple weeks ago and I watched that game, I just walked away thinking, man, here we go. Here we go. They have clicked in. They would go on that 8-game winning streak. And some of those games were clinics. Some of them, you know, they just found a way to win. That Denver game showed me something different. And now of late, Jim, come on. Just not of the quality of a team that's going to do anything. In the playoffs, you were there for every game. You were there for a lot of practices. You talk to people. You understand this game well. Why is this team as unpredictable as they are when we're in April next week?
It's a great question. I think that changing the roster, I think that you can't overestimate what Kyle Anderson meant to this team is in terms of vocal leadership, but also playmaking. I mean, like, Kyle was a guy that could make plays, but he also was a vocal leader that people would listen to. He would hold people accountable, including Ant. And I think for Chris Finch, you know, Joe Ingles is kind of like that, but Joe is more, you know, he's not able to do it on the court, which hurts his ability to have credibility like Kyle did. So to me, like, that's one of the things. I think Ant's immaturity is another thing. I just think that, I think that him being 23, like your leader still isn't fully matured as a guy that's going to know how to operate and take control of the basketball game. So, I mean, Chad, there are games where, I mean, like, you're thinking we're going to get blown out and we're out of the game. It's a double digit deficit in the fourth quarter and they come back and win those games. They've done that multiple times this year.
Right.
The game at OKC, you know, think about, I mean, being down 25 to Oklahoma City, what that means. I mean, like, it's literally Mariano Rivera, if not better. Like, there's no way you're coming back.
It's
that.
Over.
And it was incredible when they came back from that win, but I disagree with you. It's frustrating when you can't predict what they're going to do from game to game.
So let's stay with Ant because, you know, he's one of the 10 best players in the game. And if you ask folks right now, you can have a young player on your roster for the next 10 years. He's not Wemby, and he's probably not quite Shea. He's third, fourth, fifth, right? I mean, he's a very tantalizing, talented player who his numbers are great, and there are games when he is fabulous. And I get it that he's 23, and he most of the time owns up to the responsibility, but he's about to finish his fifth year. And there are certain individuals that because of the skill and their stature and their accomplishments, that they have created a scenario where we hold them to a higher standard. And they understand that. And in no way am I saying this has been a disappointing season for Ant. But if he's going to become, over the next 3-4 years, not just maybe the 8th best player, the 10th best player, if he's going to be in that mix to be one of the best players, then this inconsistency has to slow down. And if it turns out they have the 8th best player in the game, that's still really good. I'm not downplaying that. But if you want to play multiple rounds in the playoffs and have one guy as your bell cow and one guy you're saying 9 out of 10 times or 19 out of 20 times, I know what I'm getting from my star, like you do with Joker, like you do with Shea, like we can go back to others. He has to get to that, and it just isn't happening this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at his game log will tell a story of relative inconsistency. I mean, 49 one night and 23 the next, and then, you know, he doesn't have he's not doing the single digit off night.
Yeah,
you know
fair.
What I mean?
Yes, correct.
His off night is 17. You know what I mean? That's his off night when he's just not completely dominant.
And so he plays all the time, to his credit, outside of the technical nonsense, which hasn't happened since he missed the game. But he plays, even the other day when his thumb screwed up, he plays where a lot of other young guys in this league don't play.
You know, we lost the game to Indiana when they were missing 4 or 5 rotation players back on the 17th.
Yep.
You know, that was, 4 games ago or whatever. And he went 9 of 24. He was 1 of 11 from 3 in that game, and he was 1 of 11 in the 3 this last game against Indiana. And the problem is that he thinks he's going to make every shot. So, like, when that does happen to him, like, it does frustrate you because, you know, you talk about some of the double-digit deficits we've come back from. He's not been on the floor for two or three of them, where he's not been on the floor, where we've operated with, you know, with Mike Connolly and Dante, Nikhil, Nas and Rudy, you know what I mean? Like that group, mm-hmm. or else it's Nas and it's Julius. So Ant's been on the bench for some of these comebacks. And the reason why is because the ball snaps around and moves. When Ant's in hero mode, I mean, you're going to have the greatness and you're going to have the downside. And the downside is when he goes 1 for 11 and you lose a game at home against a team that has 5 starters out, you know? So, I mean, it's just and he still had 38 in the game, by the way. He still
right.
produced. But it's just the immaturity of his game sometimes that kind of rears where the ball movement stops and it frustrates Chris Finch. And then the defense, I think that's the other thing, too, is that sometimes there are guys on this roster that when their offense isn't going well, like when they're not making shots, and, Chad, you've seen this over the years, too, when guys don't make shots, they hang on to it, and it affects them for the next play.
Well, and that's Ant.
And the next play is on the other end of the floor.
Ant's in that category. You know, right?
And Jaden's in that category,
yes.
And so is Nas.
Right.
Those two are really both hard of themselves. And I'm not saying it, like it's not that they're lazy or they're bad. I'm just saying they're hard on themselves. And like every parent that has a kid, that when they've seen them play and they're too hard on themselves, and you just want your child to move on to the next play. I kind of feel like that when I watch Nas and Jaden particularly, because I just know what they're doing to themselves. And I know as a player, I would do that to myself if I missed a shot. Because if you only, you know, for me, I was a role player. When I only got 6 or 7 shots in a game,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't miss three. I didn't want to miss three. And so I know what it's like to be hard on yourself, but you got to have, as a coach and as an analyst now for these years, I tell these guys all the time, you got to have a next play mentality, and that's what Chris Finch is trying to get these guys to do. But it's hard.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing to tell these guys to snap out of it. You know,
they don't have Cat, because that's taking away a guy who could get you 30 and 40. And that's not to say Julius and Dante can't score. But just one more point on Ant, I just would like to see the occasional game because he is a good passer. He's not elite, but he is a good passer. He sees the floor better. Jim, I'd just like to see a couple games where he is really productive, and it turns out he has 17 points, and he has 9 assists, and he has 8 rebounds. And if you're watching the game, you're saying his impact was big. It wasn't just 31 points on 25 shots where he's, let's use a Chris Finch term, gravity. He's bringing that gravity to him, and he's using it as an asset. And I thought there were times in the playoffs he did that. But, you know, he also had a big-time scorer in Towns, right? And when you have another big-time scorer, that can help. I still think he's capable of those type of games, and those haven't happened much this year.
Well, to your point, Chad, he's only had five games of eight assists or more.
Yeah, and that's way too low.
He's at eight twice. He's at nine twice, and he's at 11 once. And you know what? We won every one of those games too.
Yeah, I believe
every one of those games
yes.
where he had eight or more, we won all those games too against good opponents.
Yeah, and listen, he hears this all the time, and it's a part of it. And there are a lot of factors on why they're going to advance far in the playoffs and make it a really fun run or go out early. And he's their guy. He's their star. And so he's going to get the credit or get the blame. That's just part of the territory. Let's pause, come back with more. Jim Pete is with us, the tremendous analyst, along with the tremendous play-by-play announcer Michael Grady. They are as good as any tandem in the game. Calling games to the Wolves on FanDuel Sports. Would you like me, Dave Harrigan, to talk? You know who could use Stretch Lab?
Who could?
Jim Peterson.
He's saying he's not limber.
I'm saying he's not as limber as he was when he was roaming the floor for the Houston Rockets.
Okay, well, that's probably fair.
He's made a commitment to fitness the last couple of years. First of all, his wife is in incredible shape. She looks like she's 22, right? She is committed to fitness. I'm gonna take Pete to one of these locations. I'm going to take him to the Stretch Lab in Plymouth.
Okay.
We'll sit down with Zach or Kevin or some of their specialists, and Jim's going to go, why wasn't I going here before? They have 11 locations. You will find one in the metro area. Just go to stretchlab.com, and you could be a former pro athlete like Jim Pete. You could be a former not even close to pro athlete like me and you. You could be a 16-year-old kid who's getting ready for summer hockey. You could be a 75-year-old who likes to walk a lot, plays occasional pickleball, but is sick of that shoulder, sick of that back, and you will get the great treatment from the trained specialist at stretchlab.com. And again, because you hear this spot on CCO, half off your first stretch. Don't wait. Stretchlab.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez, Pete, are about to get married. There is here's what's involved: $500 million super yacht, 32,000 night hotels, a $2 million ring. They're saying the minimum the hotel rates start at is $3,200 a night, but can cost, if you want to upgrade, 10 times that amount. Okay, you live in a la-di-da world. Tell me the fanciest, most extravagant, luxurious wedding you have attended.
I'll tell you, it's from a luxurious and you know, kind of cool venue and the people that were there. It's actually a wedding I went to when I still was playing. My buddy Marty Lackner got married. Marty is from Milwaukee. He grew up in Whitefish Bay. He went to the University of Minnesota. Great guy. Ran a hedge fund for a long time. And him and his wife were just beautiful people. And so I was, you know, they got married in Telluride in the summertime.
Mm.
And it just, so having to fly into Telluride, you ever been to Telluride?
No.
Oh, my God.
I hear it's stunning.
White knuckling it like
oh, is that right?
Of a mountain. White knuckling in a little, because you have to fly to Denver, or we did anyway. Flew to Denver and then take a little puddle jumper into Telluride. And if anybody's done that, this was years ago, so it's been a while. I don't know if it's improved any, but Chad, it was really death defying to land on this little side of the mountain on a landing strip, and then the wedding was just absolutely, it was like one of those picturesque things that you see on Instagram all the time now. I don't know if you peruse Instagram at some of these
things. Oh, of course I do.
Some of the weddings. Yep. And, I feel bad.
I love Instagram. Today,
though. Instagram is phenomenal. Like, you see all the things that these people do. It's just phenomenal. The kids that had to spend all the money on these expensive, like, bachelor parties, all the things exotic, like, you know, the getaway bachelor parties, getaway weddings as well. And that, man, these kids are going all out now.
They go crazy. So
it's pretty cool. How about you?
I'm trying to think. I mean, a lot of really nice ones, but to be honest, the last couple of years, I've not attended a wedding. Obviously, there are stretches when you're in your 20s and early 30s, there's a lot. And then had a stretch a few years back where I bet it was like 3-4 a year. But don't have one. Also, I want people to text the most harrowing airport you landed in. Not because of the turbulence, not because of the weather, but where it was like Jim's saying in Telluride. Dave, where is the place, or Jim, maybe you know, where they're on, is it in the Caribbean, where they're on the beach?
Right over the beach, yeah.
Right over the beach. Maybe it is St. Martin. And it's like, they're not small planes. They're big planes that are landing like you're there. I know you're out there, Jim, in your Speedo, and boom, here comes like a 747 flying right over you. That might be a bit much.
Yeah, no, that is St. Martin, because we were there. We were there laying on the beach watching the planes land on the airstrip.
Oh, of course you were.
And I was not in my Speedo, by the way.
Yeah. How many times has Jim Peterson worn a Speedo?
Zero.
You come on.
Zero. Chad, well, actually, that's not true.
Hold on.
When we were in junior high school, when you had gym class and you had pool day.
Yes.
The little swimsuits they gave you were Speedos.
That was going to be mine. Okay, we're close in age, but like you're borderline the cutoff of when boys were swimming naked in middle school pool.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Can you
have pools in schools anymore? I mean, like, I don't even know. Like,
not
is that even is that
Dave?
Even
do you think most school, like most middle schools in Minnesota, Dave, do you think they have pools?
I think it's still pretty popular. I think
is
in
it?
My district, we have two middle schools. They both have pools. One just got renovated. Right. It's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, of course, you're in Woodbury. I mean, you know, rest of us are trying to get by, and you got to rent. What is that? Lifeguards and food areas and cabanas? What do we get going?
We have actually AI lifeguards. It's unbelievable.
AI, exactly.
Hey, Chad, we used to take those bathing suits, though, and throw them in a bucket after we get out of the pool and throw them in a bucket.
Oh, God.
And then the kids in the next class would wear them.
That is really clean, isn't it?
That is so the 70s.
Yeah, that is so the 70s. I'll tell you something that's still borderline is, okay, you're going to a wedding and you're a groomsman. Okay, and you're different because you have to shop at different stores. But okay, the groom says, "Hey, we're going to fill in the blank," and you're putting that tux on. Some high school kid 2 days before is going to prom, and he's wearing the same damn tux I'm wearing.
I got to buy a tux, by the way. I'm surprised you don't have one. You don't have a tux?
No.
I'm sure. I bet Dave does.
Dave,
are you kidding me?
There's no shot. What percentage of Americans have their own tux? I'm going to set the over-under at...
Oh, 10%. Maybe 5%.
Keep going lower. Come on. Really?
1%? Really? Am I a 1%er?
Yes, you are, by the way. Okay, in case you wanted to know. Let me just help you out that.
That's true. I mean, like, you're probably even asking, like, how many people have suits? Like, how many people even have a suit anymore?
1% have a tuxedo.
Nobody has to wear a suit. Yeah, I bet it's even less than that.
Probably less. I mean... I'm trying to think.
I mean,
right,
you and I probably go to more functions where you probably need a suit than most people, and we don't even have one. So, like,
no.
You know, and I'm 6'10".
Yeah.
And if anybody would have a custom suit like
you.
That, it'd probably be me, just because I can't find one.
Okay, what is
It's hard for me to go to a tuxedo place and get fitted appropriately.
No chance, right?
They don't fit me. No, they don't fit me.
Okay, where is your ideal clothing store in the Twin Cities area right now where you can give them a plug? Where is the place?
The Foursome is, I can get stuff at the Foursome.
Yeah.
I can buy Lululemon pants. Like they have some good, like they have the 37s fit me. But I use my girl Sarah, and she's my tailor. So I get my custom stuff done all the time.
A few people, St. Martin, Tanzania. Zebras were on the runway. Now that would be something if you're landing the plane and zebras are right there. St. Bart's, Google landing there. I mentioned, I haven't told you this yet, Hunter is engaged. And we're looking at a November wedding. And there is talk of a state that is not real close to here. But in November would be the best weather location. Where do you think that is?
Palm Springs.
Mm-mm. Well, that we'd be going that Hawaii.
Hawaii.
There's some Hawaii talk. I'm thinking we should.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should get married on the beach. And then he said, by the way, not your marriage. You're going there. You'll be a part of it. I said, okay, you're right. I'll just be there. The percentage of people who get married in Hawaii on the beach or inside, what's your guess on that?
You're saying what percentage of people get married in Hawaii?
That if you're getting married in Hawaii and you're a tourist, okay, you're a tourist, so if you've flown there, what percentage are just getting married on the beach versus they're going to a indoor or a nice indoor-outdoor location?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've never been to a wedding in Hawaii, so I can't imagine it's very common.
You're out. You're not invited. No, actually, it's just family. So it's Dave, what's your guess? I'm thinking if you're flying to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 25% are getting married on the beach itself.
25%.
25%.
I was going to say about 88%.
80? Oh, really?
If I'm living in Minnesota and say, you know what, hon, we need to fly for a wedding. We need to go to Hawaii. They've got a great event center. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, it's the beach.
They got a great VFW.
Yeah, Legion Hall. Come on.
Chad, you got to differentiate between a place that they have on property to do weddings and then on the beach.
Fair, because... It could be the actual wedding itself is inside, and then the reception is outside on the beach, right?
Right. Well, that's actually, you know, we were just in Cabo for All Star Weekend.
La-di-da.
They had the actual ceremony on the sand, like with the white chairs out there and the little huppah over the top. And then they had the reception, like, right by the hotel, like, on, you know, in the property on the ground.
Pretty good.
It was beautiful.
Okay.
That's probably what most people do.
Yeah.
I'm with Dave. It's like 88%.
Yeah, I was way too low. You're right. Where is, do we, the three of us think, the most popular wedding place in Minnesota? I mean, churches and places of worship are all one, but basilica?
That's a great question.
Right next to the ball of twine.
I once attended, Jim, a wedding reception at the basilica, was the best man. Then, so it was like 11 o'clock, right? Then we took a trolley, those of us in the wedding party, around then Lake Calhoun, now Bede-Makaska. Then we all went home for 4 hours and gathered again on the Bloomington Strip. And my friend asked me to kind of welcome everybody as the best man. I did, and I took a cheap shot at the delays and how long this whole thing has taken. His wife has not talked to me since. I think it was appropriate. The reception was at 11. Everybody else went home and gathered again at 7 o'clock.
The ceremony was at 11.
The ceremony was at 11. Then the reception was at 7 o'clock. I don't know, the Thunderbird or wherever we were on the Strip. That's too long, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got to take a bit of a tweak, a bit of a cheap shot, don't you?
That's what I'm thinking. Hey, you know, I just thought of another place I've been to a wedding in Minneapolis that's really is really great, and that's Nicollet Island Pavilion.
That's very nice.
That's a beautiful venue. That whole area over the river too. There's another place where Ryan Saunders got married. That wasn't too far from there as well. Up by in northeast Minneapolis, over there by the river as well. So I mean, Nicollet Island. Have you been to that venue?
Yes, I have. That's beautiful. People suggesting Nicollet Island, like you said, the Arboretum, Stillwater. Somebody throwing in Lambeau Field. Do we have many people who get married at one of the sporting venues here in town?
Proposed to, yes. Married to, I don't think so.
Dave?
A lot of proposals.
Think they do.
You think they do?
I mean, Target Field, U.S. Bank, they absolutely pitch that. Hey, come have your reception here. They've got the events.
The reception there, but do they actually have the ceremony there?
They could probably make that work.
Yeah.
Why not Target Center? Let's go.
Yeah.
Crunch can officiate.
Probably well,
good
done
for
it.
Hunter, by the way. Good for Hunter.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
We'd accept a present to me, and I'll trust me, I'll get it to him at some point. All right, I'm 10 minutes late for the break, so we got to go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Jim Peterson, back with Michael Grady when they take on the disastrous Phoenix Suns. By the way, close circuit of the Wolves, don't overpay for KD this summer. He's all-time. He's maybe the 13th best player. Don't overpay for Kevin Durant. But if they go out in the first round, they might do that. Apparently, according to Bill Gates, it's over in 10 years. Why is that? I'll tell you when we come back.